Yes, that line forms on the right, babe. Not that Maggie.
Ba-dum-bum, ba-dum-ba-dum-bum. Back in time. On the fan. Mick Monagle here with you. I got you for 3 hours. We take you to the warm-up show at 5. Fliegelman on the other side. And we're taking your calls at 888-808-1019. The day after, a little bit of retrospective after Reaction Monday to the first NFL season, first NFL game. Both teams with losses. But we're going to start with the Giants, as the news coming out of Giant camp today is the head coach, after what was a horrible day for him in every way, shape, and form. I have been a defender of Brian Daboll. I wanted Brian Daboll back. I've been the guy telling you that, you know, Josh Allen was helped develop. And let's just start there for a second real quick, because I've heard so many people. Yes, he's not the reason Josh Allen is the MVP. Josh Allen is the reason he's the MVP. No one associated, no coach, no, his parents, not the coaches he's had through high school, through NFL, through nobody is responsible for Josh Allen becoming Josh Allen other than Josh Allen and his immense talent. That's that. We get that. But the idea that Brian Daboll had nothing to do with it, I'm not in the mood to give him any credit for anything right now because he was atrocious yesterday or now Sunday. But can we stop saying he has nothing to do with Josh Allen? He does. That's why he got hired. Doesn't make him a good head coach. And right now, it doesn't feel like he is. But can we stop saying he had nothing to do with it? We know that Josh Allen's super talented. Nobody helped Lamar Jackson. Nobody helped Josh Allen. It's not Andy Reid that made Patrick Mahomes. You know, it goes on and on and on. Tom Brady wasn't made by Bill Belichick. Walsh didn't make Joe Montana or Steve Young. We get it, but there are people who helped along the way. Now, he's got to figure out how to help Jackson Dart and how to figure out how to help Russell Wilson. And the news coming out of camp today, obviously, out of Giants, is that Russell Wilson will continue to be the quarterback after being non-committal right after the game. And even though I'm pissed at him, and I think every Giant fan is, and rightfully so, I do agree with the decision. Russell Wilson should continue to be the quarterback of the New York Giants. That was the only prudent thing to do. It's one game. It's 1 week. It's a game where the offensive line didn't play well. They're still without their all-pro left tackle. And more than that, more than anything else, because we know where this team is headed. Even on a good year, even if the Giants from this point on impress us, make us feel good about things, go as well as it could possibly go from here till week 18, it's still going to be a team that doesn't probably come anywhere near the postseason. So we know where this season is going. And the idea that Jackson Dart coming in behind this offensive line with this team right now in week 2 of this season is somehow going to change anything. Because if it's about wins and losses, because that's what I think most people who want Jackson Dart to come in and be the quarterback of the Giants, it's not about the development of Jackson Dart. It really isn't. If it's about the development of Jackson Dart, they came up with a plan for the development of Jackson Dart. We have seen quarterbacks be thrusted into terrible situations and end up being the worst for it. We've seen quarterbacks who come in and are the better for it, sure. But there is a plan behind Jackson Dart. If you are today screaming about Russell Wilson can't be the quarterback, if you are out there today screaming, as I know Tommy Lugauer is and many Giant fans are, that it's time to see Jackson Dart, the only reason you're doing it is because you were fed up with Sunday's performance, you are fed up with no touchdowns on opening game, you are fed up with watching this team play, and they need the spark. They need the energy. They need something from Jackson Dart. And let me just tell you something right now. I don't know what you expect from Jackson Dart, but as great as he was in the preseason, this isn't the preseason. Russell Wilson played well in the preseason. The idea that Jackson Dart is going to come in and solve all the ills, or it's only, like, the only benefit of it is to watch the young man play and just to feel like it doesn't matter if we win or lose. And I'm not at the point right now, just yet, where it doesn't matter if they win or lose, and I'm just focused on the development of the young quarterback. And further, more than that, I am not putting him in this situation. And that's why, as much as I went over this yesterday, and I talked about how Jameis Winston has been relegated to the third string quarterback, and the Giants would look foolish. The Giants would look foolish if they make the decision to go to Jameis Winston instead of Jackson Dart, who they themselves designated as the second overall starting quarterback. He's the second string quarterback. They designated that. And Keith actually sent me a message, and he was talking about it. I overheard him that they did this with Tommy DeVito and Drew Locke last year. That is not the same thing. I'm sorry, that's just not the same thing. Tommy DeVito and Drew Locke are not the same thing as your franchise quarterback who you moved up into the first round to go get. When you designate him anything, there is a purpose behind it. There is a reason behind it, and there will be a reaction from the fan base. No one cares about Tommy DeVito versus Drew Locke on a dead season after they decide they can't play Danny Dimes anymore. That's not the same thing as whether or not you are going to make decisions and give him a designation and then take it away from him. That puts them in a weird spot. But having said that, as much as I've been thinking about it now this day, here's what I'll tell you. And me and Fleegs were talking about it before the show. I need all three quarterbacks dressed for this game against Dallas. I know that they don't have Lawrence anymore. He's with Seattle, and I know that obviously Micah Parsons is in Green Bay. And I don't know the edge rush that has just absolutely blown up the New York Giants. What, every single time they've played for the last 6 years is not the same anymore. And that front four probably isn't as good as the Washington front four. And I do, on some level, expect this Giants offensive line to play better in week two. I don't know how much better. Not better enough to put my first round pick behind it to start his NFL career on the road against the divisional opponent who has owned the New York Giants off of what we just saw. By not only did the New York Giants make the right decision, not putting Jackson Dart as the starting quarterback and continuing with Russell Wilson, I will tell you that I don't care what happens. Jackson Dart cannot see the field week number two. Cannot see the field. If something goes with Russ, you're going to Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston better be in uniform. Jameis Winston better be ready to go, because I am not putting Jackson Dart into a situation off of that week's performance in week one against Washington, and where now he's suddenly thrusted into a situation where, you know, Russell Wilson got hurt, or Russell Wilson is getting run for his life and Russell Wilson is ineffective. I am not putting that quarterback in that spot. Forget it. Don't even think about it. In fact, what am I saying? Why even have all three dressed? Don't dress Jackson Dart. Oh, you can't do that because you called him the second string quarterback. And that will cause controversy that nobody wants. The idea of going to Jackson Dart makes zero sense to me. Zero at this point. Zero. And I'm also like, they went out and got Russell Wilson for a purpose. I know he didn't play well week one. Do you want to go through the NFL and see the quarterbacks who didn't play well week one? Like, and behind the offensive line that he played behind, there were plays to be made. He missed them. It's very similar. Like we said, everything yesterday was Monday was very similar to what we've seen from the New York Giants for years, including plays to be made and the quarterback unable to make it because he's already checking down because he doesn't trust the time he's going to get from the offensive line. It was day one, game one, with this new Giant team and an offensive line that was getting beat at the point of attack like a drum. Now, I can't trust to put my young quarterback behind that off of that game, off of the tape that game will show. but I also have seen this Giant team and that offensive line be better than that. We've seen games, specifically week one, the Cowboys 40-0. I don't care. Like, I know this is what everyone likes to say. It doesn't matter what quarterback's back there. You could have Patrick Mahomes back there. You could have Tom Brady back there. You could have any quarterback. You could have Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. No one's winning with that offensive line. And I've always pushed back, and I will continue to push back, but there are certainly games where that is true. I think that's probably true for last week. It certainly has been true for a lot of these openers. 2 years ago, 40-0 Cowboys. Ain't no, maybe score some points, but ain't nobody winning that game with the way the Cowboys dominated that offensive line after Andrew Thomas got hurt on the blocked field goal and was out of that game. Nobody. Nobody. But if you look at last year, the offensive line, Tracy still did run for 800 yards. They still, like, at some point, they played well enough where you could have some functionality as an offense. And to me, this is on the coach. I don't want to, and we talk about whether or not, you know, Brian Daboll can prove himself. We're waiting to find out. The only thing left is to see if Jackson Dart can develop. Nonsense. I completely disagree with that statement. I completely disagree with it, because that's the other thing who people want to see Jackson Dart. It's that we need to find out if we have a coach. And as much as I'll tell you, he was hired because he wanted, because of his helping in the development of Josh Allen, and to have him come here and be fired without ever giving him that young quarterback to develop always seems stupid to me. And that's why I wanted him back, because I thought he deserved this opportunity. It's why he was hired. You got to give him a chance. And I am interested to see what Jackson Dart looks like under Brian Daboll. And I do think Brian Daboll has done a relatively decent enough job with some terrible quarterbacks. He made Tommy DeVito a household name. He got that man a contract selling pizza sauce. I don't know who else could have done that. He went from not being allowed to throw the football against the Jets to beating the Green Bay Packers. Like, we saw he won a playoff game with Daniel Jones, and I know Daniel Jones now is the greatest quarterback in the NFL. We'll see. We'll see. And as much as I do want to see him coach Jackson Dart, and obviously how Jackson Dart looks whenever they decide to play him from that point on, is going to be a huge, huge part of whether or not this regime remains in power next year. But I'm sorry. They brought in this quarterback. He's supposed to be an offensive guy. Not only does he help develop quarterbacks, he was the offensive coordinator. We heard Diggs and other players that played in Buffalo and talk about what a great coach he is, how incredibly talented he is, how he puts his players in position to be successful. We've heard all his former players in Buffalo say all that crap. You know what? I don't think Jackson Dart is the only player left to find out about Brian Daboll. He's got to give me a better offense than this. And he was the one, him and Joe Shane went out and got this quarterback at the age of 38 or however old Russell Wilson is. I want to see him take the quarterback that he chose to be the starting quarterback while we wait for Jackson Dart and give me something. I want to see him with Russell Wilson give me something. They've been working all camp. They've been working all offseason. He brought in this guy. He's sticking with this guy. I want to see something against the Dallas Cowboys. It's time. I've defended this coach. I've been behind this coach. I thought it was right to bring him back. That game on Sunday was unacceptable. The play calling, particularly in the red zone, the offensive game plan, the whole bit. I'm not putting on a quarterback. I'm not putting it solely on the offensive line. The coach was awful. The coach was awful. And I don't want to immediately go right to Jackson Dart behind that offensive line. I don't want to go immediately to Jackson Dart and just, it's all about his development. I want to see this coach with the quarterback he picked to lead this team, and I want to see him show me that he somehow, in the entire offseason, has come up with a game plan to make it functional with Russell Wilson. He owes us that. He owes me that. I want to find out about this coach. I know he can develop quarterbacks, or at least I believe he can develop quarterbacks. Can he play? Can he have a functioning offense? Can he make it work? Can he get first downs on third down? Can he put the ball into the freaking end zone? Can he come up with a game plan, even if the offensive line is subpar? Figure out a way to make it work. And I don't want to put that you know, screen over him already and go, well, listen, that's not going to work, so let's just see about Jackson Dart. No! Go make it work with the guy you brought here. How about the two quarterbacks you brought here? One of them better show me something against the Dallas Cowboys. And I don't even care about the wins and losses. They better score some points. They better have an offense that looks like it can go up and down the field. And when they get in the red zone, they better have a better sequence than what we saw on Sunday. Because that, like, forget everything else. Forget everything else. The play calling inside the red zone, inside the 5-yard line, was laughable. Laughable. And today, all, you know, it was so focused on who's going to play quarterback. And they brought in Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, for all of his flaws and for all of his faults and for what he was and what he is now and everything else, he took the Pittsburgh Steelers to the playoffs in the AFC. They didn't do well when they got there. He didn't play well the last few weeks. I get it. He took them to the playoffs. He was the starting quarterback for a playoff team last year. Don't tell me he went from a starting quarterback on a playoff team last year to a guy who isn't functioning to score a touchdown. We want to find out about this coach? You want to decide whether or not he's the man? It's not just about whether or not he can make Jackson Dart look like a starting quarterback in this league. It's whether or not he can come up with a game plan with a quarterback he brought in that he decided to make the starter over the young Jackson Dart, that he's sticking with for week two against the Dallas Cowboys. Show me that you have something up your sleeve. Because if you don't, even if you develop Jackson Dart, I'm going to have a real tough time believing that this guy is going to be capable of sculpting an offense inside this league. You've got to give me. So I'm not saying you got to go out there and score 40. But can you get in the end zone? Can you make it look like you had a plan? How about we get through a game without getting into a fight with our star wide receiver? How about that? How about you? The first play inside the red zone goes to your star wide receiver instead of a tackle? This is not about Jackson Dart yet. And I don't want to make it about Jackson Dart, and I'm glad he didn't. This is about him. This is about the head coach of the New York Giants and whether or not he's capable of putting together a game plan against a team he should know pretty well because they've kicked his ass every single day since he's been here. They're going to have the extra few days because they played on Thursday. They're coming off a game where they felt like they could have beaten the Philadelphia Eagles. This is a tough game for the New York Giants. Every game's a tough game for the New York Giants. But all of the enthusiasm, all of the hype, all of the positivity, all of the different things that went into this offseason, I still believe this is the best roster they've had probably in Joe Shane and Brian Daboll's career. I know they don't have the star running back. I understand that. I understand Saquon Barkley was with that team. But outside of that, I still think this roster's just as good. If not better. It is better. Go out there and have a functioning offense. That's it. That's my edict for the game. And I don't want it to be about Jackson Dart. It's not about Jackson Dart yet. It's not. It will be soon enough. I'm not putting that kid behind an offensive line that played the way it did last week. I'm not putting that kid behind an offensive line that doesn't have Andrew Thomas's name under the left tackle spot. And I'm not hiding this coach behind, well, now it's about the development of the quarterback. It's not yet. It's not yet. Because you sold us on trying to win games while you develop while you develop Jackson Dart. You told us that you can have an offense here. You have a star wide receiver. You have a good running back room. You have what should be a pass-catching tight end. You have weapons inside this offense. You went out and added Hudson and other guys to bolster the depth of this offensive line. It's supposed to be better, even without Andrew Thomas, than it was without Andrew Thomas last year. Everything's supposed to be better. I'm not ready to just say it's about the development of Jackson Dart. No, it's not. It's about whether or not this coach can find an offense. There was only one choice to make, and at least he started the right way. Russell Wilson will be back next week. He should be back next week. He's the starting quarterback of this team. That's their decision. Show me why you made it. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break. We'll come back. We'll take your calls. We'll get to the frustrating loss that is the Mets, and now it is official. Hey, Evan, you can stop asking Sal Licata every single day. The division is over. The National League East is over. The Mets are three games up on a wild card. The offense just went ice cold. They lost 1-0 to a team that lost two of their star players, doesn't have their ace starting pitcher, and they got shut down by a guy with a 7 ERA this year. The division is long gone, and it's about finding their best team with the rest of these 18, 19 games, however many the Mets have left, putting together a rotation and getting ready for what will probably be three games on the road to decide whether or not they're worthy to play in the NLDS. We'll get to the miserable at-bats at the end of the game from Jeff McNeil and Alvarez. We'll get to the pitching performance, obviously, of McClain and how he continues to impress and how he joined the Pantheon yesterday of great Met pitching. I'll explain later. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We open with the Giants. We'll get to the Jets as well. You can tell me whether or not you buy into the, oh my God, the Jets lost the game the same way they did every year for the last 15 years. Or do you believe that there was a lot to take out of that game and you're a positive Jet fan heading into week two? It feels like the team, the fan base is split. Let me know who you are. And obviously, we start with the New York Giants. The correct decision to start Russell Wilson and whether or not this coach, who I have praised despite his miserable record the last 2 years, showing us some sort of offense with the guy he picked to run the team and not hide behind the idea of, well, I'm developing a quarterback. Not yet. Not week two, you're not.
Your friends pretend they know sports. WFAN actually does. Get smarter, louder, and way more annoying at watch parties. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always streaming on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps.
Boom, 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 boom. All right. McMonagle here with you on The Fan on this Tuesday morning. How are we doing? 888-808-1019. You can also get me on the YouTube live chat now. I shouldn't say live chat. The chat is where people make fun of me and call me fat. But the actual video you can watch right now. You go to YouTube. You can stream the overnight show. Myself and Keith do it every day. You could join the chat and break through by being kind. Although people do like the MTV t-shirt I'm wearing today. This is an old one. I've had this for years. Back when Casual Mail XL used to have good graphic tees. Now you walk in there, that's crap. But this is a good one. 888-808-1019. Frustrated Giant fan to start the show. Frustrated Giant fan who needs to see something from the coach. And I can't put Jackson Dart in a position just yet to start for this team. I don't know enough about this offensive line. I don't know enough about this team. I'm not putting him in that position. He was brought in here. He was drafted. And the plan was to give him time. I believe in that plan. We've all bought into that plan. I'm not changing off week one. And secondly, I'm not letting the coach off the hook. It's letting the coach off the hook to bring in Jackson Dart immediately and turn it right into, well, can he develop the quarterback? I'm not ready to do that just yet. Let me see him actually come up with a game plan with Russell Wilson or with Jameis Winston. I'm not thrusting this quarterback right into the spot. It makes no sense. And it also, I disagree with the sentiment like, well, because I do believe he can develop. I want to see if he can develop Jackson Dart, clearly. And I do believe in all the other stuff. Like, if he shows he can develop Jackson Dart, I really don't want to fire him either. Because I want to give Jackson Dart an opportunity to be the best he can be. That's how franchises win. So I do want to at least give Jackson Dart that beginning of a career. It doesn't mean that Brian Daboll stuck with him forever. It doesn't mean Brian Daboll gets to be the Giants head coach as long as Jackson Dart's the quarterback, but these first 3 years are critical. These first couple years are critical to a quarterback's development, just like Josh Allen's 3 years. No, he's not the reason specifically that Josh Allen became an MVP. He had nothing to do with the amazing ability that Josh Allen has and what he's become. But he's there for the beginning process. Do you remember what Josh Allen looked like year one? Like, to say that Brian Daboll or no coach has, like, yes, no coach can coach a player who doesn't have it into Josh Allen. Josh Allen's got to have it, and clearly he does. But we've seen quarterbacks who I have no doubt have it and have failed. Maybe not to Josh Allen's level, but there are quarterbacks right now who are sitting at home. There are quarterbacks right now who are labeled busts. There are quarterbacks right now, whether it's from 15 years ago to 5 years ago to 5 months ago, there are quarterbacks right now who have failed in the NFL who, if were put in the right situation, would be starting right now. So, yes, it's important that Jackson Dart developed. And, yes, if he shows the development process of Jackson Dart, I'll probably want to keep him as the coach on some level. We'll see how I feel about it after watching it. But I also want to see if he can coach a football team. I also want to see if he can get some kind of offense with a quarterback he chose to be the leader of the team. And I think you saw the way I told you. I was driving in on Saturday morning listening to John Schmelk and Mark Melusis have a show. Burns was on as a guest or a pre-recorded thing with Schmelk and went right into how Russell Wilson's the leader of the team. Went right into it, unprovoked. It wasn't a question about Russell Wilson. It was a question about leadership, and immediately went to Russell Wilson. Immediately. You hear the way Slayton was talking today. Some of the quotes and sound out of Slayton today. Talking about, you know, that they believe in Russell Wilson. You don't want to throw this young quarterback right into the fire, and we shouldn't be making rash decisions off week one. Like, I believe all that. And I want to see that this coach can show me something. Show me that you can come up with an offense with Russell Wilson. Because I refuse to believe he is so awful that you can't score touchdowns. I refuse to believe. Go make it work. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls here. Jason in Waterbury. What's up, Jason?
Hey, Chris, what's good, bro?
What's going on, bro? How are we?
Not much, man. Very, very disappointed Giant fan. You know, I'm gonna say something that should have been done. And 4 years ago when the Giants were hiring a head coach, there was one guy out there that I wanted very badly, and that's who they should have hired as the head coach, and that's Brian Flores. And I cannot believe this team continues to be this kind of an embarrassment.
Yeah.
If the Giants had Brian Flores and Michael Penix as the quarterback of this team instead of drafting that idiot neighbors a couple years ago, because that's all the Giants want to do now. They want to draft ornaments. They want to draft wide receivers. They don't draft any offensive linemen. They don't draft it's a disgrace.
Well, Jason, Wait, not be a head coach in this league. Okay,
the Giants should have hired him 4 years ago. The Giants made a huge mistake. He was out there, and they should have hired him. This team's an embarrassment.
Can we have a conversation?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, thank you.
Go ahead, Chris.
Okay, well, thank you. I got you. They're an embarrassment.
I'm tired of
watching
it, bro.
I know. I understand that. But here's a couple things. One, Flores is not a head coach and hasn't been one since his days in Miami, so we don't know.
And he was great in Miami.
He was okay in Miami. I mean,
He was okay in Miami.
We don't know. He hasn't been hired since. Okay. You want to keep saying it?
Which is a disgrace.
Did he win? All right, relax. We don't know what kind of coach Flores is. He isn't coaching right now. It's not like he's a successful coach. I'm just saying.
You see this Vikings defense?
I'm just saying. And then the other thing is that they don't draft offensive linemen. Like, are you aware of how many offensive linemen they have drafted? Are you aware of how many offensive linemen they have drafted?
The Redskins don't even have a pass rusher.
Like, the idea, what are you talking about? Like, I'm just saying, I'm frustrated too. You want to call the team an embarrassment? Embarrassment. Without question, you're right. But when you just throw things out there like, oh, they should have hired Flores. Okay, maybe he would have been a better head coach than Brian Daboll. I have no idea. He's not a head coach in the league right now. We have seen excellent defensive coordinators. And don't tell me he's a good defensive coordinator. Doesn't mean a damn thing. He could have been he was a decent head coach in Miami. He probably deserves another crack at it sometime soon, without question. But to just say Flores would have solved all this, we have no idea. It's not like you picked a coach that went somewhere and solved everything. Second of all, the idea that the Giants, and I hate this narrative, they're not neglecting the offensive line. They are completely terrible at it. There is a difference, and I'm not trying to defend them, but I'm just tired of the narrative that this Giant team doesn't care about the offensive line or doesn't attempt to fix it. Of course they have, and of course they do. They just suck at it. They've been wrong over and over and over again. Evan Neal is a seventh pick in the NFL draft. All they want to do is draft ornaments like Malik Nabers. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? How many wide receivers have the New York Giants drafted? I mean, I guess a couple. What, Beckham? Young Joker, which was a disaster? Like, in the first round, I can guarantee you they have drafted more offensive linemen in the last 15 years than wide receivers in the first round. I mean, go back to Flowers. That's how deep this is. That's how far back it goes. Flowers, Westberg, Pugh, Neal. Andrew Thomas is the only one that hit. Hernandez in the second round. Michael Jack Schmitz in the second round. The idea that they don't draft offensive linemen is just dumb. They have tried everything. They paid Nate Solder the biggest contract to a tackle in NFL history at that point. They have spent money on the position. They have drafted the position. They have done everything possible to try and fix the position. They've been wrong almost in every single one of those decisions. They have not picked. Now, look, Hernandez actually went to the Cardinals and has been pretty damn good. But, like, the idea that they've neglected the position or they don't think it's important drives me up a wall because it's just not true. They have drafted, they have spent money, they have done everything they can to fix this offensive line, and it doesn't matter who it is. It started with Reese, goes on to Gettleman, goes on to Joe Shane. Nobody can figure the freaking offensive line out. Nobody. But it's not from lack of trying, and it's not from lack of thinking the position's important, and it's not because they're drafting ornaments, as you put it. And listen, Malik Nabers is an incredible player. If you think the Giants made a mistake drafting him, you're missing the point, man. He's a great player. Look up and down this league, man. You need wide receivers. You need guys who make plays. You need touchdown scorers. That's what Malik Nabers is. He's a difference maker. You got to put him in a position to do so. But you're not wrong. They're an embarrassment. That's absolutely true. Jeff in Louisiana. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, hi, Chris.
Hi.
So, I'm glad you're talking about the offensive line.
Sure.
So, I want to preface what I'm going to say by saying, you know, in the offseason, the Giants, part of their season strategy was to build a strong, impactful offensive line that could run the ball. They drafted Spatibo, mm-hmm.
Scatabu.
And, they wanted to have some old Giants flavor. Bill Parcells type Giants flavor.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see them. I know people are down on Evan Neal.
Yes.
But he, in the preseason, man, I think he got ratings like 80 as a run blocker. I'd like to see him back at guard. I think maybe he could help out John Michael Schmitz, who I don't think is strong enough. They just don't draft strong enough centers, physically strong enough centers. Westberg was sort of like that, too. And I agree with you and your rejoinder to that the caller who said the Giants don't draft offensive linemen. I want Elijah Chapman on the active squad. I want when they're on the goal line, we're going to throw Neal at you. He's going to knock somebody over. We're going to throw Elijah Chapman over on the other side and try to knock somebody over. And we're going to be tough on third and one at the goal line. And I wanted to say, by contrast, it's kind of annoyed me. Dallas is so good at so efficient at replacing offensive linemen.
Yeah,
they lose one to retirement or mm-hmm. leaves in free agency. They draft another, might be in the first round, might be in the third round.
Yep,
and it fits right in. BB, you know, is just guard, never played center in college. Fine, put him in the center, and he's good.
Yep.
Why can't the Giants?
Giants, I completely agree with you. Whether it's coaching, whether, and again, this goes beyond Brian Daboll. And I'm not trying to defend Brian Daboll. I just killed him for the first open of the show. But I'm saying it goes beyond Brian Daboll. I'm not saying he's done a good job or that it's acceptable how poorly he's done with the offensive line, but it goes beyond him. We're going back to Reese. We are going back to the end of Eli Manning's career. This offensive line has been a problem forever. Now, at times, I feel, and I still feel, and it's only 1 week, and they weren't good. Don't get me wrong. They were not good Sunday. They were not good. But sometimes they become the analytics of football, where everything is blamed on. They become the analytics and accountability of the New York Giants, where everything is just blamed on that. They don't win the game. Oh, offensive line, not good enough. Offensive line. It's not always the offensive line. It is not always the offensive line. It just isn't. The offensive line hasn't been good enough to really have a really strong offense, and there are certainly games where they give the team no chance, gave Daniel Jones no chance. I think they gave a very difficult chance to Russell Wilson on Sunday. There is no doubt. There are games that you can point to where there was just no chance of doing it because they could not block. That's not every game. It's not. It's not every game. Now, is it hard to function when one game you can and one game you can't, and it's hard to get into a rhythm? Sure. The offensive line has been their worst unit by far through the last 15 years. There is no debating it. But Evan Neal is a perfect example. Evan Neal was a can't-miss tackle out of Alabama. I mean, just for whatever reason, hasn't worked. Now, you say he performed well. He was a healthy scratch. Do you think, like, honestly, if they thought he could play, they would do anything they could to play him. It's an embarrassment that the 7th overall pick in their first draft can't see the field. He's a healthy scratch with an offensive line with already their best offensive lineman down. He can't make the 53-man roster. That tells me, I'm sorry, if Evan Neal was even close to good enough to play, they would dress him. It's embarrassing for Joe Shane to not dress the dude. He was a top 10 pick, and he can't dress. They've already moved him off tackle, and he can't even dress on an offensive line that just got their ass handed to them. I'm sorry. I hear what you're saying, but he must be, there's no way he's able to play unless they are just absolute, complete idiots, which I guess is possible. Unless Joe Shane, Brian Daboll, and his entire offensive coaching staff have no idea what they're looking at and they are just complete morons, there is no way that they would allow Evan Neal not to be part of the 53-man roster if he could help them in the slightest. So I don't know what the answer is. I don't think there's an easy answer. All respect to you guys. I love you guys. Thank you for calling and being part of the show, and I'm glad you guys want to give me your thoughts, but you don't have the answer. I don't have the answer. They don't have the answer. There is no easy answer. There's no, oh, just play Evan Neal. That's not going to work. I don't know what's going to work. But we have seen the offensive line get better throughout the season. Andrew Thomas is coming back. Last year, they didn't grade out as like the absolute pits of the NFL. They had a young running back who ran for pretty much, what was it, 800 yards in Tracy last year. They had some semblance of a run game at times last year. Like, they're going to play better than they did Sunday. Maybe not this coming week, but eventually they're going to play better than they did on Sunday. And they've got to find an offense to score some freaking points. And I want to see this coach do it with the quarterback he picked. Mark, all the way out in California. What's up, Mark?
What's going on? I had something happen to me today. Probably hasn't happened in over 25 years. So, do you do fantasy, Chris, or no?
Do I do fantasy? Of course I do fantasy.
Of course. So, I had my...
Just so you know, just so you know, though, I just want you to know this. Brett in Long Island thinks less of us. So, just so you're aware of that.
Okay, well... You know, I mean, listen.
I'm just kidding. Go ahead, Mark. Like, what do you got? What happened in fantasy?
My team is kind of like the show, the league. Like, we have some crazy, over-the-top guys. One of the guys that is in my league, mm-hmm. his nephew is Danny Amendola.
Okay, so you got the uncle of Danny Amendola on in your league.
So yeah, he's really good. Like our guys are like we're on top of it. I'm a stat guy. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. I had my first ever tie in my professional fantasy life ever. 25 years doing this, man.
Right.
And I've never had a tie in my life. You know how hard it is to tie in fantasy?
I don't think it's ever happened to me. I'm trying to think of a tie.
It's wild. Dude.
Yeah.
But listen to this. I was down. My four receivers are Nico Collins, Brian Thomas Jr., Zay Flowers, and Marvin Harrison.
Okay.
When healthy, I'm going to get like 100 points from those four guys.
All right, well, listen, I'm not really – I have to be honest with you. You said something crazy happened. I'll listen to that, but I'm not going to go through your whole roster. So, I appreciate the call, but we can't go through your whole roster. What happened last night?
No, for sure. But I'm just saying. So, right, so those guys didn't do very well because Nico and Brian
– Right, just down. What happened
so
last night?
I was down 60 points. I was down 60 points, and all of a sudden, Derrick and Zay Flowers brought me back from 50 down to up 6. So now you going into this game on Monday, I got Loveland and Minnesota's defense going up against Justin Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of sweating a little bit. I'm like, oh, my God. Tell me why Henry fumbled so I lose 3 points, right?
Yeah.
Keep that in the back of your mind real quick, right? So what happened was at the end of the game, I'm down 2 points because Minnesota gave up the touchdown to Caleb. Now check it out. The very last play did a flea flicker, or whatever they were trying to do. They fumbled the ball, Chris.
Right.
So guess what happens with a fumble recovery?
2 points.
I get 2 points.
Good for you. Good for you, Mark. I'm happy to get points. We can't go through. Like, I can't spend 10 minutes on your fantasy game. I appreciate you, man.
Saying it ended in a tie is
enough.
Weird enough.
Yeah, and then just give
like,
me the, give me the fumble.
You don't, have, points.
You don't have to tell me how we got to the idea that you're up. You're down 2 points in the final seconds of the game. Just tell me I'm down 2 points in the seconds of the game. This happened.
Or honestly, if you said it was a lot of crazy stuff and only mentioned the fumble the last play without these are my receivers.
Right,
blah, blah,
a little
blah,
bit
blah.
Much. A little bit much. Because nobody cares, as I believe Craig Carton used to say, no one cares about your fantasy football team. They care about their own. No one cares about yours. So I appreciate the call all the way from California. I truly do call back, but next time just expedite exactly what happened. Don't give me
You want to break down your nice come from behind win in our league?
What's that?
Because you also, I was checking
I
out.
I did.
You
I had a nice come
from that fumble.
I did have, yes, I did. I needed 10 points out of Minnesota's defense, and I got it. But, I mean, yeah, what a crazy game. I have to admit, I just got to be honest with you guys. Sometimes I just got to be honest with you. These hours, every once in a while, I'm watching the game. Next thing, I'm watching the game. The Bears are clearly dominating the football game. I see the pick six. I'm watching the game. Next thing I know, my faulty alarm that I set just in case I fall asleep to make sure I get here in time is going off and I pop up. So I miss and I pop up and I see the end of the game and Minnesota won. I was like, what the hell happened? So I did miss this. I did miss the comeback.
Especially
and,
crazy
and
for
Chicago.
You to find out that Minnesota didn't just like take the lead at the last second.
No.
They were up 10 at one point.
Unbelievable. I know. I saw the pick six and figured, oh, away we go. I mean, brutal. And then I pop up because of the alarm. Just fell asleep sitting on the couch. It's not like I went to bed. I was sitting there watching the game. Next thing I know, my alarm's going off. And there, I couldn't believe it. I mean, that's the Bears for you. I mean, just unbelievable. Early on, they look good. Apparently, so I guess what happened was at the end of the game, they, instead of kicking the ball through the end zone and trying to save themselves the two-minute warning, at least stopping the clock,
well,
he doesn't
kick
it. Well,
it looked like he tried to kick it through the back of the end zone and just came up a little short.
Okay.
And then you saw the returner actually looked over, because they were talking about in the broadcast, like, you know, he has to know to bring it out if he can.
Yeah.
And he looks over to the sideline. They ended up piecing together the video, and Kevin O'Connell's waving
him,
come out.
Yeah, good coaching. Good coaching.
You think Brian Daboll and Aaron Glenn are on top of that stuff with clock management?
We'll see. I don't know. Probably Brian Daboll. No, we'll see what Aaron Glenn is. It's only been one game. Made mistakes, but ultimately, I blew a couple of timeouts. We didn't go too deep into the game. Like on Mondays, it's like, but like, yeah, that the timeout on the 2-point conversion is a killer. You can't blow one of your second half timeouts setting up a 2-point conversion.
To ultimately call like the lowest percentage play.
Right, exactly, and then have a terrible play call. Yeah, that was a tough sequence for him. There was a couple tough sequences for him. But ultimately, I thought the Jets played really well. And I know the moral victory conversation was probably had all day. I think the midday show was a moral victory kind of show. And then Evan clearly wasn't. Like, I get it. I can understand why. Look, ultimately, they lost the football game. It's about wins. I get it. And it's a game they should have won. It's a game they had won. It's a game that they outplayed the Pittsburgh Steelers for the most part. And yet they come away with a loss because of some mistakes, because of a fumble. I get it. It's frustrating. I'm not saying that you should come away feeling great about the game, but I do think, I'm sorry, maybe it's the New York Giant fan in me that watched the opposite. Because I'm telling you right now, if the Giants lost to Washington 34-32 and Russell Wilson was throwing touchdown passes, I'd feel different than I feel today. I'd feel different than I feel right now. I'd feel a hell of a lot better. I think the Jets game one with this new regime and that new quarterback and the way he played and the way the offense played, it took mistakes and a 60-yard field goal to lose to Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, it's a fine line of moral victory and frustration. I get it. It's not perfect. It's about wins. And I'll be told it's fair, too, because if they go out and get pounded by Buffalo, no one's going to care. They played well and almost beat Pittsburgh. I get it. But it's hard for me as an observer, not a Jet fan, but as an observer and a Giant fan, to not feel somewhat positive coming out of that Jet game and the way they played. That's just me. But I can understand why any Jet fan would focus more on the loss. I do, because they blew the game. It's not like they played well, made this rousing comeback, and just fell short. They had that game won and blew it. Eddie in Rockland. What's up, Eddie?
What's up, boss?
What's going on?
One thing you have going for you, in a few weeks, Brian Daboll can add Daniel Jones to his list of quarterbacks he developed.
Yeah, no. Right? Well, no, unfortunately, he does not get the credit for that. He didn't pick him up till year four. He did have his best year with Brian Daboll, but no, I wouldn't give him the credit for developing Daniel Jones. But we'll see. Look, Daniel Jones had one great week. He played a flawless playoff game for the Giants. He had a second half against the Arizona Cardinals week two after that debacle 40-0 Cowboys game where he was flawless and took the team and brought them back from 20 points down. Like, we've seen Daniel Jones play well. I didn't think he was not capable of having a good game. We'll see if it's a good season. I do think the Dolphins are falling apart, but that was a very, very impressive performance from Daniel Jones.
Right. Mm-hmm. They just give him a little credit. We'll see what happens.
But no, I would not give Daboll any credit for Daniel Jones.
Thank God you came to the dark side on Daboll a little bit. It only took you 1 week.
Yeah, well, but, no, I'm just saying I need to see more. That's it. And it was a terrible week for him.
You keep on saying you need the offensive line for Jackson Dart. They've never had a good offensive line. So what week is okay for you to see him?
Well, certainly with Andrew Thomas in there. Andrew Thomas has to be playing. I need his left side protected by an all-pro.
Chris, what happens if he's not? How many?
Well, I don't know. Then I want him really familiar with the offense, and I want to see the offensive line begin to gel together and play together more than 1 week. So I don't know what the answer is. A handful of weeks, 5, 6, and then depending on the opponent. I wouldn't mind if they waited till week 9 in the San Francisco 49ers.
Week 9, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, well, all right. That's what you want to do. I give Wilson the half against Dallas and see how he does. And then I put Jameis Winston in, and then I start the kid next. Well, I can go with Jameis Winston for a couple of weeks, but my problem is the neighbor's problem. And I told you, they don't like Daboll, man, and he's dead man walking already.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. He's frustrated. You think if he liked the coach, he wouldn't be frustrated with 0 points and going into the red zone and coming out
Chris,
with 0 points?
You promised a different dynamic, a different look.
I did.
And a different attack on this team week one.
Yep.
And we saw the same old nonsense. 100%
correct. Yep. 100% correct.
Okay, so, and then you were going into week two and you're trying to sell us on the same thing.
What did I try and sell you on?
That they're going to be better.
I think the offensive line eventually is going to play better than it did yesterday. I think the offensive line will play better. I said I want to see Brian Daboll and this. I want to see Brian Daboll and this team come up with an offensive game plan. I'm with you. He's the coach now. We can rehash whether or not he should be the coach, should have been fired. You don't like him. I don't care. Quite frankly, it doesn't matter what the Giants should have done. What you believe, what I believe. It doesn't matter what Eddie and Rockland believes. It doesn't matter what Chris McMonagle believes. It doesn't matter. He's the coach right now. He's an offensive coach. They've stuck with him. They wanted Russell Wilson to be their starting quarterback. Show me something. I said at the start of the year, I expected it to be different. I predicted them to win both of these games. I was wrong week one. Let's find out about week two. And right now, the way I'm feeling, I'll probably be wrong about week two. But let's see. That's all. I want to see him come up with a game plan with Russell Wilson. And then we'll talk on, but like you can't relitigate whether or not he should have been fired. It doesn't matter. He wasn't. He's the head coach. Should I just sit there, twiddle my thumbs and go, well, let's just wait until the day he's fired? Let's see if he can actually do the job. It was one game. Yes, it felt a lot like the last 10 years, let alone the last four under Brian Daboll, last three under Brian Daboll. It's a new season. They've got another opportunity. Every game's a new opportunity. Go out there and perform better. And I do think the offensive line will get better. That I will say. I don't know if the offense is going to get a lot better. They're going to score a ton of points. They'll score more than six. Maybe not this week, but at some point. But I do think the offensive line, as the season goes along, will get better than the atrocious performance we saw on Sunday. I don't know if they'll ever be good. I don't think they'll be top of the league. They will be better than the offensive line that gave that offense no opportunity to go play. They'll get better than that, and especially when Andrew Thomas comes back. And as long as Andrew Thomas is working his way back, I'm not throwing Jackson Dart out there until he does.